right, what's going on, guys? Welcome back. Episode 110 of the Look Mum, I'm Hustling Boss. Well, it is 110.
I know it is, but it just seems like yesterday that we did our, you know, the 100th episode. It just goes by so fast. I mean, it's been literally 10 weeks. So fast.
All right, 70 days. Yeah. We just can break down the hours and minutes as well.
Maybe. It feels like just last week I went to the party store and grabbed those balloons.
And they were deflated immediately, and you didn't get helium, as I asked.
Well, this is extra cost.
But we got a big budget now.
We do? We even got a big budget?
And you didn't get helium balloons. I'm still reeling from that.
By big budget, we just mean personal savings. That's fine.
It's been $16, so fortnight. Oh. Some big news this week. Big for us.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, obviously, episode 110.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Big deal.
Big news, big Jew, big deal.
Big. You say big Jew?
No, I wanted to say big deal and news, so it didn't come out right.
Big deal.
Big deal.
Congealment of words.
What's going on?
So LeBron James has just started a podcast.
What?
Yeah. LeBron King James.
Is he still playing basketball or did
he
retire?
He's probably only there was talks that he was going to retire once his son.
That's right. Plays basketball.
Wants to play on the same team as him.
But he's going to retire when his grandson plays basketball?
No, his grandson.
No, I'm joking.
I think it was his name, Bronny Jr., I think. Bronny James.
Right. That's pretty, hectic that usually from memory, right, whether you're an athlete or whatever, your sports lifespan isn't usually that long. So the fact that he's kind of still playing basketball now, that's pretty hectic, right? Or is he just kind of holding on to loose threads that aren't really there. Should he still be playing? Can he still play?
Go, yeah.
Yeah.
He's been playing since 2003. So he's 20 years. There was talks a year or two ago he was trying to wait until his son, Bronny James, got drafted. Mm-hmm. It's he's still at college.
Yeah.
But I think LeBron James is now realizing he's only a couple of years away.
Right.
And then just trying to solidify. I mean, he's so rich.
Oh, for sure.
Millions of dollars coming in every other week from Nike and all these sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he just wants to still have a place to go to and have his brand still active as opposed to just for endorsements.
Right, because you still need to, obviously, when you're playing basketball, you're still on TV, you're still, you're showing your face and stuff. He just needs another avenue where he's, still seen on a regular basis and not kind of forgotten
about. He loves basketball. So yeah.
Is the podcast about basketball?
Yeah.
Of course it would be. But imagine you're the son, right? It'd be like going to school and your parents are teacher, right? You're playing basketball, but your dad's there. In the same team. Not the same team, but are they the same team?
That's what he wanted to do, yeah. He wasn't just waiting to play against him.
Yeah.
He wanted to get him on the same team. And cute. LeBron James calls the shots, so basically who gets
drafted.
Picked for the team that he's on.
Because he's in the Lakers, right?
Yeah.
So it'd have been yo, Mr. Head Guy of the Lakers.
Yeah, it'd be
get my son on board, thanks. That's nepotism.
Yeah, trade those three bums out.
Yeah, get my son on, nepotism.
Get Bronny James on.
Yeah.
So, LeBron James is continuing to expand his presence on social media platforms. The four-time MVP is the co-host of Mind the Game.
That's a good name.
Along with JJ Redick. JJ Redick has done a couple of podcasts. He's got a very popular basketball one.
Mm-hmm.
I used to play with him on Lakers as well.
Retired, what's a sharpshooter?
Like a good shooter.
Okay. So, just
He's sharp at shooting.
Okay, all right. Just wondering, because sharpshooter is a pew 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 kind of gun sort of one.
And what do they do? Hit the target.
Yeah, true. Okay, all right.
So it's only been out for a couple of days now. It features the basketball-related musings of King James and retired sharp, as you said, JJ Redick.
Mm-hmm.
In the first episode, the two hard-court vets discuss the recipe for success as a basketball player. Open-ended question leads into a wide-ranging conversation that covers numerous NBA topics.
Mm-hmm. Look at that. That backdrop there. So you've got a big wooden box in the background. They've got some wine around the table, nice chairs.
It's kind of just a, not a locker room, but kind of a utility closet at
looks like under construction, type thing, yeah.
LeBron James is arguably the most famous athlete. Not surprising that the first episode got 1.3 million views in a single day and brought on 250,000 subs.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they've probably got a team of 20 people chopping up clips all day long. It's going to be one of the biggest podcasts there is.
Mm-hmm.
Something like The Ringer is probably one of the bigger sporting-based podcasts.
I think you've talked about that one before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not too familiar with it, obviously, because I'm not heaps into sports.
It's a whole network now. Then you have
I think some the YouTube videos.
Pat McAfee.
Yeah.
Has recently got basically – he's a really famous podcast. I believe he's Super Bowl champion NFL player, and that he's basically on ESPN now.
Gotcha. So, like, ESPN have their own, like, podcasting network.
Oh, that is, he just got signed by them, basically.
Okay. Fair enough.
And this is going to be up there. Mm-hmm. Who does? If you love basketball, if you don't want to hear LeBron James talking about basketball.
Oh, yeah. Week. That would be the, like, whatever it is, the, whatever space you're into, right? Like, you'd want, like, the lead top dog at the moment talking about it.
By teaming up with Reddick, James is showing that his legendary awareness extends far beyond basketball court. He's paying attention to the formats that are driving product innovations and brand deals on platforms like YouTube. So yeah, it's don't expect James to limit his digital media ventures to a single podcast. He's also indicated his interest in video game streaming, whether it be YouTube, Twitch, or Kick. And a recent deal between Lakers and Logan Paul's Prime Hydration has led to rumors that the two Northeast Ohio natives will meet in a wrestling match. Oh. So he's really starting to plant the seeds for life beyond basketball.
And wasn't it during, I don't know if it was before or after, or just was it during, like they had the NBA players would be playing in NBA 2K, right? And they'd be streaming that. Yeah, so you could just imagine, like, imagine playing against LeBron, like, NBA 2K and just, like, playing that. So that would kind of make sense if he's, like, streaming that kind of, like, sort of game aspect. Wouldn't you want to watch LeBron play himself in NBA 2K?
If I was heaps into 2K, I would, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of, like, crossing that space, but it's still, like, within his, like, bucket.
Mm. Yeah, he's just planting those seeds for, so like, because he's probably got so much going on in the background, business-wise, different ventures, affiliations, partnerships. Mm-hmm. But he probably doesn't need to be active and present for all those meetings. He probably has a team that can just handle it all on his behalf.
Sure. Yeah.
So why wouldn't you just like try and have fun doing the other things as opposed to going to board meetings, signing deals all the time?
Yeah. It would be like a race, like a famous race car driver or whatever. And then, you know, one of their kind of things is like live streaming, like car racing games, like whatever the Need for Speed or whatever.
He's probably just going to play Fortnite.
Maybe.
I think it was Fortnite, actually.
Oh, really?
I don't think it's actually basketball he wants to play.
Oh, okay. Open up a link, see what it is. See what kind of streaming? Oh, NFL.
NFL.
Yeah.
Madden.
Interesting.
Anyway, yeah.
Okay. I guess you can, like, as long as it's...
He probably wants... It's the same thing as, you know, you're a plumber. You're a plumber. You don't want to go and plumb your neighbor's house after work.
Yeah.
Is that what they call it? Plumb? I'm going to go do a bit of... I'm going to plumb next door?
No. I'm going to fix the pipes.
Where does a bit of plumb come from?
The fruit.
So they used to, people used to have plums stuck in their pipes. And it's like, I need to do the plumbing.
I don't know, maybe. Well, you're going to look it up. Where does the plumbing come from? It's like, my brother's a chef, right? So it was one of those, like, you're cooking all day. The last thing you want to do is go home and cook dinner. Like,
yes. I don't think he wants to play basketball.
No.
Online.
So where does the phrase plumbing come from?
You know what? It's not even remotely important. It's Latin for
plumbicon.
Plumbum.
Plumbum. All right.
Yeah.
Plumber. All right. Okay.
I put myself into a plumber slumber right now. It wasn't that funny.
I thought it was. It's pretty funny. You coming up with the little whatever those things are. Little
what the hell was
clicking? You know, the okay, little girlfriend. snappy clips. Yeah, don't do that because then you're going to think you're going to have to like cut the audio here.
That's true. So yeah, some interesting stuff. I haven't watched it. I'm sure it'd be a fun watch. It's just interesting how fast something can blow up if you have a decade or two of experience and audience building and basically just getting better at honing and crafting your skill over that long. You can kind of at that point pivot it out to anything. We've seen it happen with heaps of celebrities and heaps of athletes. At a certain point, the main craft that you've focused on, you've been locked in for a decade, you get good enough at it, then you can apply those skills to other avenues.
100%. And like we've talked about this before, whether you're a creator or whatever, you like, you then use that platform to like launch a product or launch, I don't know, like another sort of business venture from it. And I was listening to, it was either late last week or early this week, like the Ludwig, he's like a YouTuber with like Colin Samia, kind of talking about how like his business model at the moment is solely relied on him making videos, but obviously he's not going to like want to make videos forever. So he made like a separate company that then helps like creators and like make videos or make events and all that kind of stuff. So then those people that are relying on him to make videos can then join this other company that's not relying on him anymore. So it's just about using, I guess, your current platform to then launch something else. And it's just giving you that leg up, right? Because you've already got your 1,000 true fans. You've already got like this massive following that are going to like follow you wherever you go. And it's going to help you, I guess, get that exposure to begin with rather than having to like claw your way up the ladder to just get some sort of exposure to people. Be like, hey, I'm here. Don't forget about us.
Yeah. it's something that we're going through. It's because you can have a shotgun approach and try 8 things at once, but it's much harder to get really good at the one thing and build a 1,000 true fans when there's 17 places for them to connect and associate with you. It's kind of like everything gets lost in the muck between platforms, if that makes sense.
Yes.
As opposed to just building the one thing as good as you can. I was reading this, listening to Michael Saylor.
Michael Saylor.
Great. Good. And there was a point in one of his recent interviews, he runs a MicroStrategy, an investment firm, really big into Bitcoin.
Oh, I was trying to figure out where I knew that name from, and I think because we were talking about Bitcoin the other week, his name popped up. It's like it was the whole thing of like getting good at one thing rather than kind of splitting your attention and doing like 10 other things.
Yeah, there was just like a quote that he said.
I guess that applies to like business as well as social content. Like most people, they're not building 5 businesses at once. They're building one, then selling that off, and then using that to like fund another one.
So it basically says, I don't regret any bad ideas that I pursued. I regret all the good ideas I pursued because they were dilutive, or they diluted the great ideas. I'll play a bit of the video here to make a bit of context.
To keep making a profit while you grow the thing, then even if you're the best in the world now, you won't be the best in the world in a decade. You'll get squeezed out by somebody else. So I think when you look at all these businesses, you know, the standard of, can I come up with something cool to build? That's very low. I can come up with 100,000 good ideas.
A bunch of good ideas versus one good one, like one great one, and just going all in.
Can I be the best in the world at it? I don't know. I mean, I won't know until I've done it for 3 to 5 years. And then can I grow it continuously against the person that is the best in the world at it, right? The decision to compete is a decision to be the best in the world continuously forever at a profit at something. Okay, that when you think about it that way, it gives you laser eyes, right? It gives you focus because you realize that it's like you can go into any city in the world and start a restaurant. Can you make money? You'll know in 36 months. Will you be there in 100 years? Will you be there in a decade? Yeah. Right? That's very hard. It's probably 10,000 times harder than the first stage of just launching the thing or doing the thing. That's why there's a 99.9% failure rate on mobile apps or new.
So it's kind of mixing two ideas together. But like his main thing is basically like sticking around long term.
Mm-hmm.
You need to basically try and be the best at it because there's just always going to be competing factors, other factors that are like making it harder and harder for you to like last 10, 20 years at any endeavor or sport. Like LeBron James, has been the best for a long time, but it's not like every year there's new up and comers entering the league that have the chance to surpass him.
Yes.
But he's had to continually get better and refine to stay, have that edge above them all the time. He's diversifying his stuff now. He's doing video games. He's doing podcasts because he's been the best for 2 decades.
Yep.
So now he has the chance to dilute his efforts across a few other things, which is kind of the same concept as Saylor's trying to talk about here.
Right. So it's
like you can't like start out with a shotgun approach. You kind of have to have laser focus, be a sharpshooter. And just like get really good at something and trying to like see, can I get this to 3 or 5 years and be the best? And once you are the best, depending on whatever metric you're using, then you have to maintain that with outside external factors always competing to like claw away at your whatever you've built, whether it's a business or an app or a career as an artist or a singer or a sports person. It's like you kind of, you always have to be, you can't be complacent essentially.
Yeah, like that makes sense, like staying power and stuff, because obviously it's easy to, like there's heaps of processes and like structure to follow to like get something started, right? But it's like that staying power and that longevity, that's like the hard part because like it, you know, you can search or whatever it is, if it was, you know, through ChatGPT or whatever it is, like it's going to tell you how to start a business. It's going to tell you how to like train to be an athlete. It's going to tell you all how to get there. But it's then once you get there, it's about keeping that number one spot.
It's like starting is actually the lowest barrier to entry.
Yes.
And longevity is the harder part. And people don't think about that. But like he's saying, so many businesses fail and it can be because you don't put all your effort into the one thing and you're diluting your efforts across 5 or 6 things. And it's something that we deal with all the time. Like, are we doing too much? And it's clear. You just got to like grind it out for a bit to see, is it feasible? Can this, like he was saying, can this restaurant last 10 years, it's going to take you 2 to 3 years to figure out and realize if it can or if it can't, and what it's going to take to continue going.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to think about from a world where there's endless opportunities. There's so many apps and so many ideas we can all have. Like you're saying, you can have 100,000 ideas tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
but you can't pursue all of them.
No.
You kind of got to pick and choose and be willing to fail at it at the three-year mark or whatever year you arbitrarily decide to call it quits on to try the next thing. But trying to do 6 things at once means you never get that initial 1,000 true fans or 1,000 true customers or whatever it is, because they can see you're only putting 10% into 10 different things.
Yeah. Well, you talked about being like laser focused, right? So if you have like, and I think we talked about this like off camera and stuff, but like if you have like a bunch of spinning plates, your attention is going to be so focused on every single plate that's spinning, and it's only going to get like half your attention to stop it all from like falling or crumbling.
Mm.
Like, but if you had just one spinning plate, all your attention, all your focus can be on that one, and it's going to be easier for it not to fail because you don't have anything else distracting you.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of other problems that come with that. It's the FOMO in the back of your mind knowing I'm spinning this one plate and there's 4 others that I can potentially start spinning.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to do them because if I don't, then I'm going to have fear of missing out of doing those other things. But you kind of got to wash that away and like just come back to that at a later stage almost.
Yeah. And I guess if you had some time to think about it, like if you're still thinking about it 2 or 3 years down the track, you know it's something that you really want to do. But if you've like forgotten about it, obviously you didn't care that much or you're not that passionate about it.
Is it worth putting 10% into it now or waiting till a point where your main thing is almost self-sustainable or you have a team to support it?
Mm-hmm.
So then you can put 40% into it in 3 years' time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an interesting dilemma, and it's really just a dilemma that's centered around the world of abundance and opportunity that we live in now. It's it's a first world problem.
Yeah, 100%.
It's really just kind of crazy.
Yeah, it
like
is.
We're like handicapped and like a prisoner to opportunity.
It's pretty crazy.
That's a good book title, Prisoner of Opportunity.
Prisoner to Opportunity or of Opportunity?
Of Opportunity.
Okay, yeah, because you have like, and that can tie into anything, right? Like whether it's something as simple as streaming services, you've got so many options that you just become like locked in and you just can't do anything yet.
Well, we only got one option here for getting our focus right, and that's Magic Mind.
These are becoming pretty good.
There's no other competitors, to be honest. We've had a bunch of different shots from the local supermarket. They're usually mm-hmm. to do with like gut health and cleansing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But these are the only ones that I've ever seen that are based around having, you know, reducing stress and having more mental clarity and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, they're called the productivity shot
for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
It's more than just like a juice gut health kind of shot. Mm-hmm. I mean, it still does those helpful kind of things. But it is also equally as much for the brain, right?
Yes.
100%. That's due to things like matcha, cordyceps mushrooms, lion mane mushroom, L-theanine, got a bunch of B vitamins in there. We drink too much coffee. We've probably mentioned it a dozen times.
So many times.
To the point where it's probably becoming a problem. I guarantee if we went to the doctors, they might be like, lay off the coffee a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So something like this helps still give you that energy, the consistent flow of being focused on different tasks and things, but without the edge and the crash that inevitably comes from having a coffee.
100%. And I really like this because I think I'm a little bit better with my coffee consumption than you are. So I like to drink a little bit less. I used to have like a 3 p.m. kind of cutoff for coffee. Now mine's midday. I don't really like to have it past midday. And then having this around about maybe like 1 o'clock or maybe just after lunch as well, I'm finding that it works just as well. I don't have that 2 p.m. wall where I'm, you know, wanting to have a nap or whatever while I'm at work. And I think it's just, the matcha and then obviously the lion's mane and stuff in there just really helps with the, you know, the focus for the rest of the afternoon. And it's because of those ingredients, I think, like I said, it just really helps out. I don't have that 2 p.m. wall. It's just like that nice steady flow. So if you're trying to cut down your caffeine consumption, want something to help you get past that 2 p.m. wall that you hit in the afternoon, I think Magic Mind's like a really good option to have that rather than having like a coffee or whatever it is.
Yeah, and it's deliciously sweet.
Yes.
That passion fruit, I say it every time. It's the best part. That hit at the end, so beautiful.
Well, because you have a lot of shots and they're just like, you know, especially because of the ginger and stuff in them, they're quite spicy and they're kind of like you get taken aback by it. This has a tiny bit of like that.
There's no wincing with a Magic Mind.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just like a nice, goes down the throat well.
That's what she said. You can check out Magic Mind at magicmind.com. /lookmum, LOOKMUM, and you can get 20% off one-time purchases and subscriptions with the coupon code LOOKMUM.
M-U-M for all the Aussies out there.
Yep. Aussies. Mm-hmm. LOOKMUM 20 for your magic mind goodness.
Yeah.
And the best part is you don't notice that stress that creeps up throughout the day. Obviously, when you wake up in the morning, it's kind of like the decision fatigue and the stress is not really there. But as the hours progress throughout the day, especially at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, I think that's what contributes a lot to that tired feeling or overwhelming feeling. And having something like this with the L-theanine at that point in the day kind of gives you a steady flow into the afternoon.
100%. Yeah. And coffee doesn't help with the anxiety and stuff. So, yeah, Magic Mind's a good option.
All right. Do we have anything else on today's menu?
We
talked about, I guess, brand building, getting being an expert in different fields. Anything that's tickled your fancy this week? Have you watched any content or pods or
books? Just the Ludwig one that I talked about. Ludwig with Colin and Samir. Obviously, they're going around and talking to all the creators and stuff. I just thought that was just an interesting concept because he's massive on YouTube and does, like, he signed exclusive deals with YouTube to stream on there and all that kind of stuff. And even he's thinking of, like, other avenues for his employees to, like, make something that's a little bit more sustainable than just creating videos around him and what he does.
Yeah, well, here's one thing you can do, and we've talked about it a bunch of times in terms of making videos and trying to take the pressure off yourself and, I guess, ease the workload for people that do make stuff on YouTube, is having AI do different things. I don't know if you've seen the ChatGPT or the OpenAI's Sora, which is basically Midjourney for videos. YouTube are now helping creators disclose whether there's authentic or altered or synthetic content, AI, basically.
Synthetic content. What's such a futuristic term?
So generative, this is from YouTube itself. Generative AI is transforming the way creators express themselves, from storyboarding ideas to experimenting with tools. But viewers increasingly want more transparency about whether the content they're seeing is altered or synthetic. That's why today we're introducing a new tool in Creator Studio, which is where you upload your videos on YouTube. Requiring creators to disclose to viewers when realistic content is made with altered or synthetic media, including generative AI. So basically during the upload process for creators, it gives you the option to share with the people that are going to consume your content whether or not your video does in fact feature AI created images or videos. It's the same as like when you see a paid promo or paid post on Instagram, it's just increasing the transparency for the end user.
Yeah, fair enough. And I guess it's just letting people know, be like, hey, this is not real in a way. So,
or part of the video is not real, at least.
Yes.
So whether you're using the likeness of a realistic person, altering footage of real events, generating realistic scenes.
Oh, this is like the whole, like, just helps with, like, fake news.
Deep fakes and things. The last thing you want to do is, I don't know, have some celebrity, I mean, not the last thing, but some people want to create drama, have someone saying things they don't actually say. Speaking of Michael Saylor before, because he's such a wealthy investor, he actually owns 1% of Bitcoin now, all Bitcoin. But if you start watching like Bitcoin YouTube content, the ads that are playing, there's just scam websites that have used his image of him talking with his voice over the top saying, click this link to get 1,000 free this.
Gotcha.
Point. So that's the type of content that's going to be increasing more and more as the AI tools get easier and cheaper to use.
Yeah.
So the last thing we need is just a world full of deepfakes.
100%.
Synthetic content.
Yeah, fair enough. Because it's like the ones with like Joe Rogan selling vitamins and stuff and it's not even him.
Yes. Yeah. And you're obviously relying on the creator to be
transparent
and like forefront about those things.
Makes sense.
So just an interesting tool if you start seeing weird notifications or prompts on your screen when you're watching videos, just something to be aware of. And then if there's any creators that do listen and you are hustling, you will be prompted to fill that info in when you're making content.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense because, like, it's just going to become more, and we've talked about AI multiple times, but it's going to become more and more integrated in your content, whether it's, like, written or it's, like, video, whatever it is. It's just going to be there more and more and more as people use it, as it becomes more, like, widely adapted and stuff as well. So it kind of makes sense that YouTube's trying to get on the forefront and be like, hey, we know you're going to use it. We know it's going to be super popular. Just let people know that you're using it.
Especially when there's AdSense at stake. With a blog or something, I don't think it's that necessary to be like, oh, the ChatGPT helped me formulate this sentence or the dot points here.
Yeah.
Because you generally don't make any or much money from a blog. But when there's AdSense online and companies are running ads on your video and then the video they're watching is completely fake, it's probably like a lot of pressure from advertisers and things like that involved.
Yeah, 100%. Like they just want to know what it is that they're sponsoring essentially, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys can sponsor us purely by just clicking the watch button next week.
Yeah. Yeah,
There's no watch button. There's a playback button.
Playback, the little bell symbol, comment, all that kind of thing.
It smash the like button.
Yes.
For once.
Boop.
Boop. That's more of a tapping.
Booping the like button.
Smash it though.
Smash. Like Hulk. There's like Hulk smash.
Hulk smash.
Hulk smash.
Hulk smash the like button. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Take care.